Yeah, time to talk a little nerdy on a Thursday night. How's everybody? Doing good, I hope. Let me get a couple things situated here. There we go. And we are live here on YouTube, simulcast over on Gun Channels. Let me find the link. I've got all my links all screwed up over here. But we'll get that sorted away. Grab the link for Gun Channels. Drop that over on the YouTube side, just in case there's somebody that, I don't know, maybe immigrated from another country or maybe Mars and is not aware, go check out Gun Channel. It's a cool place to hang out for sure. And while I'm dropping links, heck, I might as well drop the one for CloverTac.com. We're actually going to be talking about that just a little bit tonight. So I'll drop that too. And mentioned several things over there, from the discount codes for a few places to the affiliate links to the swag store to probably the most useful feature is the little social media carousel there. So you'll be able to find the channel on pretty much any of the platforms that you're on or that you might use. So, yeah, definitely check that out too. Well, let's see who we've got hanging around out there. G-Webs was first on the YouTube side, which is strange for G-Webs. That's I don't know what's going on there, because
he was born on Yankees chat.
Usually not a big YouTube guy, but yet he was first. It's like, that's interesting. Ted Orse, it looks like, is out there. Dog Buddy's out there. Einstein, the Pants, Mr. Rick, all on the Gun Channel side over there. So hello, hello. I will try to keep tabs on that as best I can. We're talking Kool-Aid over there in the pre-chat. That's interesting. Yeah, I still partake of some Kool-Aid. Not the political flavor, but yeah, every now and then. And then here on the YouTube side, who do we got? G-Webs was first. Knob's wife is out there. Patriot looks like so out that way. Calaveras as well, and my scroll's not working for some reason. Yeah, a lot of pre-chat out that way too. Kingpin, I see, is out there, jumped in with us, and a few others. So tonight we're going to talk. Had this on deck actually for a couple of weeks, and just haven't really done anything with it. But wanted to talk about email lists. Wanted to talk about newsletters. Wanted to talk about the software, the websites, the services, I guess would be a better word, that kind of helps you organize that stuff and get it done. And also want to talk a little bit about how you know, best ways to build an email list. I think I'm doing okay with mine considering, but I don't know. I mean, do you contact a big place like Lowe's, or where was I at the other day? I was in Guitar Centers where I was at, where they asked for my email address. Do I contact one of those places and buy a stupid email list? Is that what you need to do to build them? I don't know, but either way, talk about some of the best practices, I guess, for trying to accomplish that. Looks like Roosted has jumped in out there. So what's up, buddy? So yeah, let's run this through the panel here a little bit, and we'll get started. Snob is with us. What's up, Snob?
Not much. Thanks for the invite, man.
You bet. Anytime. And this week, Unloaded. Mr. Rich, what's happening?
Man, not much. Picked up a Shieldy Z380 today and potentially opening in an order maybe tomorrow for a Smith & Wesson Model 627 for a 4-inch barrel. So, see how that goes.
Yeah, he bought an EZ, you know, being easy to rack and all of this other stuff, and then you're going to go with a from there to a 627. Like, really, really?
Yep. Well, the easy is partly because my wife has that carpal tunnel on that. She wants me to teach her how to use a semi-auto. I figured that'd be an easy one to start her on.
Yeah, they are. They are. They're pretty pretty easy on the hands. Budget is in the house. What's happening, man?
Oh, not much. I'm sick as a dog, hopped up on cough drops and NyQuil.
That's fun. So
please excuse me if I'm a little bit less talkative than I normally am. I'm trying to save myself for my show tomorrow.
I hear you. I like me some NyQuil, dude. Mm. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've been living on the last couple days.
Yeah, it's for for some people it doesn't work. It doesn't work the same. But I know my grandfather, speaking of NyQuil, I guess he had never had NyQuil, or at least not to his recollection in his, 80 some odd, nearly 90 years, but quite a few years ago, he was complaining about a cold and all that. And I'm like, get some NyQuil. And he's like, I don't take no medicine. I'm like, well, you will, if you ever take some NyQuil. And, anyway, I went and bought him some and bring him the next day. And he's like, man, I don't know what that stuff was you gave me, but that's amazing. I'm like, no kidding. You should try medicines every now and then. Sometimes they actually do help. Gizzard, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, not a whole lot. I guess I've got whatever budget has, because I got a cold too. I missed work today, so trying to hang in there. Thanks for the invite.
Well, at least you're keeping up the alibi here, as this is being recorded. So,
yeah,
that's
I wouldn't be at work this late. So,
right. It that happens this time of year. This time of year, and then when I think when you've got we're going into winter, and then maybe going into summer for me is always tough. It's when you start getting cooler, and then you start warming up. I think it's pretty common for folks out there. So that, or being in these chats, there's something going on. We can actually germs can transfer via the internet, apparently. But Ghost, what's happening?
Well, I just spent a crap ton of money on Sky stocks today. I figure it can't get any worse, so I'm going to make some money on this.
On Sky stocks.
Yeah. The company Sky, like Firearms Sky, I bought a bunch of their stocks. Figure it's so low right now, it's got to go up eventually, right?
So is that like
they got to produce a good gun eventually in their lifetime.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's probably true.
I don't know. Look at Io.
In all
seriousness, why you ran into my parade?
In all seriousness, are they publicly traded, or do we even
know? Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
That'd be a good question. I would think probably not. I would think they would probably be a little. And you know what? People badmouth the Skies an awful lot. They really do. But I swear to you, every gun shop, every place that carries guns that I walk into has like 10 of them. Right there.
Where's Reed when they have 10 of them, though?
Well, but they push them and they sell them. I always see people asking, yeah, and they get them. And a lot of it is, let's be honest, is because of the colors.
Well, sure.
But, they're constantly pulling them out from behind the counter and showing them to people, yeah, and they're constantly selling them.
Well, see, that's my whole thing. I've been saying it for a while. The concept of what they tried to do was brilliant. It was a brilliant marketing ploy. If they just would have waited six more months or a year to actually refine the engineering of the gun themselves and release them a little bit later, that could be great. But the marketing ploy and the reason why they did it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, the problems with them aside, I can tell you that, one main thing I think that they really would need to fix that I've seen. I've had people that have called me before and they're like, I'm going to take my, concealed, and I really need to, I need to practice or whatever. Can I come out, to the range and this, that, and the other? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they'll come out and they'll have a Sky. And I'm like, oh, God. And it everyone that has come out, which is, I don't know, three or four. I mean, that's seemingly apparently that's a very popular pistol that people go buy for the first time for some reason. probably because those, there's probably a decent margin on them, I would guess. I don't know that for sure. And that's probably
who doesn't want a Tiffany blue gun.
And the color scheme, there's probably also a good margin on them for the retailers, and so that's why they push them as well. But they always have trouble racking those things. Talk about Rich and he was talking about the EZ. The EZ is not that hard to rack. I mean, it's very, very easy, I should say. And then if you've ever played with the Honor Guard, it's that way too. It's very, very easy to rack. So you've got several on the market that are super easy to rack, and then other ones that aren't so bad. Why the heck is a Sky? Why does it take a 800-pound gorilla, to rack it? It just doesn't make any sense.
I don't have any issue racking mine.
LCP's
like the trigger pull is pretty horrendous, but yeah. I find it to be rather comfortable to carry and have in the hand. It's not something that I would take to the range and shoot a lot. I think the whole philosophy behind it is more of a carry it a lot and shoot it a little kind of gun.
Yeah.
I guess it's the gun to have when you can't afford a gun, if that makes sense.
Right. It's like the step above the high point.
It's a lot.
You really don't want the big ugliness of a high point. But what I don't get with a Sky, the other part I don't get with a Sky either, is that there's other ones out there that are better that you don't see. I mean, you've got there for the longest, that Taurus G2 was around the same price, or less in many cases. The LCP, for example.
Yeah.
There's just so many. There's not so many, but I mean, there's probably a half a dozen that are in that price range or cheaper. So I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense why there's got to be, like I said, it's got to be a margin thing with the people that sell them. And I'm sure you've got gun shops out there that know better, and they probably don't deal with them.
Kevin the Jack Daddy says Canic is better, and I got to agree with him on that. I have one of those too, and I love that thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I hadn't been a fan of that, but so let's dive into,
He's just the FUD daddy, right? Apparently.
He's the chat daddy, the gamer daddy, the book daddy. What else? What else can we lay on him? I don't know. He was the bomb expert daddy earlier, so he wears a lot of different hats. Kevin does. So what are you going to do? So go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't realize I was on mute and was thinking out loud.
No. So yeah, let's jump over into the nerdy stuff here for a little bit. And before I do that, I've got to actually log into my MailChimp here because I didn't do it earlier. But I definitely want to bring that up while I'm logged in to kind of walk through and kind of show everybody what's in here. And then also want to show the kind of what I'm doing with this, and then we'll walk it through the room a little bit and kind of talk about what others are doing, if anybody is doing anything. Let me do a couple things here. I got to change my bandwidth. Hopefully this works, so bear with me. Get a screen share, and first thing, let's bring up. I am screen sharing, correct? Is it working?
Yes.
Confirmation. All right, cool. So here we are on the website. And I actually found a plugin for WordPress that I initially started collecting email addresses for the email list with. And I really didn't like the way that the versatility and being able to make it look the way I wanted it to look. So I've really simplified that now since I've done the work on the website. But basically, this area right here, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, put your email address, hit subscribe, and pretty much that puts you in the database, in the email list, right? And now, instead of having to pull this from my WordPress, this is actually generated from the MailChimp service. So it goes straight into it over there, and I really don't have to mess with it anymore. So anyway, I have not started the monthly newsletter yet, but you know, I have been for the last couple of months trying to build that list and get positioned to start doing that. Now, as far as MailChimp, pretty simple. I mean, MailChimp.com. I guess I could potentially grab a link, but I've already done this here now. Let me see if I can grab a... Nah, it's going to be weird, so I'm not going to bother with grabbing a link. It's easy to find, MailChimp. But anyway, just kind of give a quick rundown of MailChimp here. And you do a few things. Like I said, you've got your lists at the top here, campaigns, templates, lists, and reports. The two things that you know, we're going to focus on probably the most is going to be the templates and the list, I guess. We'll hit on campaigns in a minute. But with lists, if we go in here, then you basically go in here, and over here you can, you know, basically you create a list, right? And I've got two. I've got one that I run my test stuff through, and then I've got the actual list up to, looks like 75 subscribers to that now, which is cool. Now, you can manage this several different ways. But what I wanted to show is like the code to put this into your website, right? So that's going to be, if I go over here under this stats next to the list, I'm able to, the second thing down is what it is sign up forms here. If I go to that, then I've got all kinds of options. You can build your form. You can do embedded forms, subscriber pop-ups, you know, blah, blah, blah. What I've got is actually an embedded form. So if you go here and then you select the embedded form, then that will give you several different styles of forms. You notice over here how this is the preview, what it's going to look like. Below that is going to be the code. This is the code that you can just paste in there into your website, and it all works. And then you've got, of course, options over here on the left. You to title your form something different if you want to. You can select the different fields that you may or may not want in your form. Now, I just went with the simple form, right? Which was it the condensed? Yes, it was this condensed form. This is the one I've actually got. And I've modified the code myself a little bit. That's why mine looks a little different than this. But then you've got a horizontal form, which is here. An unstyled form, which is really kind of lame. And I'm not sure why that asked for the birthday. That's weird. But again, you can turn that off over here.
You can send them a happy birthday message.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah. Because of the age or opt-in stuff, you got to be you know, 18 or older, 13 or older.
Well, I don't think it even showed the year, though, did it?
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, then it would be for birthdays, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's just so if you want to do a happy birthday thing. So, yeah, that may be something to add. I mean, for mine, I was just looking at basically making the contact as little, collecting as little info as possible, you know, from people. Yeah, I mean, for the newsletter, as long as you get it, or, you know, important updates or something. So the condensed worked well for me. That's what I was using. By the way, I hear that G-Webs is in. So how are you, G?
Good. I had to use the link on the email. Sucker.
Oh, crap. Yep, I didn't send you one over on the Gun Channel side. Dang it. I tried to gizzard you, apparently.
Usually I come in. Gun Channels has a little table there. There's an invite, a little bowl of cookies.
Right.
Warm nut milk.
Yep. Yep. Totally got sidetracked in the free chat, I guess, and didn't do that. Dang it.
I do that every week with Clover, but he still shows up. So
yeah, I find a way. So yeah, that's your list. And once you set this up into your site, of course, people that sign up, they'll go into your list. Now from there, you've got your templates, and this is really simple. I'll just go into the template I've been playing with here, and I think my patrons out there have already seen this, but it's pretty much almost drag and drop. It's much that easy. But, you know, you've got your template here, and you can drag things from over here. Like if I wanted a text box, then I could just pull that text box in, and there it is. And then here I can add my text, change the color, let's say, of the text. Just changed it to red, and I'm just kind of messing with it or whatever. But, yeah, you can do all that. It's kind of cool. Hit save and close there. I'm going to trash it because I don't want to mess my template up. But, yeah, you kind of see how all of that works. It's kind of WYSIWYG, you know, almost what you see is what you get, right? And then once you get this template set up, then let me get out of here. Then you will go to, that's where we go to the campaigns tab, right? And then from this campaigns tab, this is where we can create a new campaign, right? So we create a new campaign. You want to do an automated email. Do you want it to be, you know, an ad, a postcard? You know, what do you want to do? And for like the newsletter, the email is what we would use. So you would just add your, I'm just going to put, I've already got tests and a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to put after hours or just after on there just to kind of get me through this stage. And then here's where you set all that up. It's you set up who you're going to send it to. So this would be where you pick your list. Okay. And then you've got the from. So this is where your information would be added. The subject, which obviously if it was a newsletter, you could put monthly newsletter or whatever. And then the content of your email. And this is where you will click, and then you're able to select your, obviously here, select your template. If I go under save templates, then there it is. And then you'll be able to shoot that out to basically everybody on the email list, which is pretty cool. Another thing that it adds, GWebs did talk about the opt-in, you know, opt-out and all that, and that's important because you don't want to be sending people something. I mean, they may sign up, or somebody with it, if you've got the two-step verification stuff on here, then it's not as simple as just putting your email in. You have to actually have to verify that once you receive an email. So that's not a huge issue, but I mean, if that's not in play, or maybe somebody just decides that they don't want your newsletter anymore, right? Then it's really important. You've got a way to opt out. And MailChimp makes this easy. If you go to the bottom, then they've got an actual section here where they click and actually unsubscribe themselves to the list, from the list, I should say, which is means that you don't have to chat with that. You don't have to go in and try to manually mess with it. So before I started using MailChimp, like I said, I was using just some code in WordPress. It was a plugin, and then I had to manually manage all of that. If somebody didn't want on the list, or if I had duplicates in the list, or whatever the case may be, and it was a real pain in the neck. So I'm going to stop sharing here and get back to my screen, and then just run it through the room and talk about, you know, do you, I guess, first of all, do you have an email list? And then if you do, then you can elaborate further, I guess, on, you know, how you collect the emails, and then what, you know, what you do with those emails, newsletter or whatever it might be. Ghost, I mean, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I've got an enormous email list. Pretty much every business card that I get at every Wanamaker, NRA, SHOT Show, anywhere I go that's gun-related business card, it goes into my MailChimp. I also have a click for my patrons. I put their emails in there. I have several different lists, but I've been using MailChimp for years from previous businesses. I had like over 6,000 in one list and all that. But the really cool thing about it is you can, when you send out an email blast, you can not only send it to a list, but you can even send it to a sub list of that list. You can sit there and say, I want to send it to all the people that subscribe to this, but only to the ones that are in Texas. So if you collect the information and they put their last name or whatever the state, then you can send it to just the ones that are in Texas. Another thing you can also do, I don't know if you, I'm sure you figured it out, but if you collect first and last names, you can actually set up the email to sit there when they open up. It says, "Hey Gary" or "Hey Trey," by putting their first name in there. So you can make really personalize each email. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I knew you had also used it for business purposes for a while. So
yeah, but no, the best thing I do is I put all the business cards contacts into MailChimp. So if I want to do, and I put like, whether it's, you know, gear or guns or optics or whatever, I've got a category for them. So if I want to send out some emails to different ones or whatever, I can send it out to everyone that's an optic company or everyone that's a holster company or whatever.
Right. Now, do you do just a text-based email, or what are you, when you send those, what do you, how are you tailoring the actual?
It really content? All depends. It depends on what the content's going there. If it's just a letter, you know, for different things, or if I'm just sending out a video, or if I'm sending out something or whatever, it really all depends on it, what it is, because you can do so many different things. You can add pictures, you can add videos. I mean, there are so many different things you can do with MailChimp. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal program.
Right. And are you using the free one, or are you having to pay for it?
Yeah, go ahead, G.
I was just saying, I was 6,000. He's not doing it for free anymore.
Well, back then, no, it was a paid thing. But that was for a whole separate thing.
Well, I didn't know if the threshold
I think,
was
I think you can go to 1,000. I think it's 1,000 per list.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, sir. 500 or something.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
Okay.
So once you know that threshold, you can create separate different lists and all that, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know. That's what I was saying. I didn't know if I haven't looked into it enough to know if the limitations for the free was per list or total.
I'm pretty sure it's per list, because I've got several lists that are, you know, I've probably still got well over 1,000 right now.
Right.
And I have a separate list though, so I think it's per list.
Okay. Awesome. Gizzard, is there anything you're doing as far as the email side of things?
No, not at all. I haven't even thought about doing anything with email.
And G-Webs, I know you've done stuff. You've been doing it for a while. So is MailChimp what you're using now?
MailChimp is a good one. Yeah, definitely a good one. And it does, like Ghost said, there's so much stuff that it can do. I don't even think we should try to scratch the surface. Right. I'm interested to hear what everybody's interest is in newsletters. I've been doing newsletters for myself and for other people with big numbers for a while, so we can really get into it. Plus, they just killed, like, my list. So MailChimp isn't perfect. They're not. There's all kinds of stuff going on with newsletters, but I'm going to say, yeah, definitely newsletters are massive potential and massive reach, but I want to hear what everybody else has to say before we dig into it.
Okay. Yeah, that...
And I'm curious, people out there listening, you know, right now they're just, you know, making fun of Pickle, but how many people out there are actually paying attention that are interested in newsletters? Because this is something that can really take your shit to the next, your stuff to the next level, your projects to the next level.
Right. Yeah, I think it could. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to, something I was going to follow up, but yeah, we'll move along. We can always come back to it. It's definitely not something, I mean, this is just an introductory thing. I think we could do a whole show or multiple shows, you know, when we actually get into the features and stuff like that. Budget, as far as the email side of marketing, is there anything you've got going?
No, it actually never occurred to me that I should be doing this. Unfortunately, I really don't know why, but no. And so I guess being on this show was probably a good thing. It's got me thinking in some different directions.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely something that it's not going to hurt at all to play around with it, I don't think. Rich, what about you?
No, I don't have anything currently. Last time I did anything on that kind of scale with email was when I was a forum moderator and, you know, letting people know about updates to forums and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Was that like a thing or like per, like as necessary or?
Yeah, it was per necessary. And then we would send out like birthday messages and stuff like that too.
Okay. Nice. So yeah, some people may have experience with that, you know, beyond the whole, YouTube influencer, whatever creative thing. So, yeah. Snob, what about you?
Well, I had the forethought whenever I set up my website to add a thing on there to collect that. I haven't really done anything with it and probably won't for a long time, but just due to you talking about, you know, your newsletter and stuff, I thought I'll put that on there and start, you know, at least have it on there. So if somebody wants to, at least I'll have a list at some point someday.
I throw some stuff in there then.
Yeah, I mean, we're ready. I just wanted to kind of run through and kind of get a general sense of it, who was using it and what they were doing. So now we can kind of dive into, you know, yeah, other aspects of it, of course. And if you're out there in the chat, I mean, if you're subscribed to newsletters and other newsletters, what, you know, I think some interesting feedback to get here. And I've talked to it in, I know in private with patrons before, but I've never really thrown it out to the public. But it would be interesting to get some feedback, since I have not started my newsletter yet, to kind of get an idea of things that you like to see when you get those newsletters. Because, you know, I get them, and some of them, you know, are not worth it. I mean, you just delete the email and go on because you know it's garbage month in and month out, right? Other ones, I mean, there's interesting stuff. So, yeah, I would like to know from those out there listening now or even in replay. You can go to the comments below. Put some stuff in there you like to see in newsletters, and that's good intel. Go ahead, G. I'll open it up to you.
Right on. So, yeah, I think right off the bat, right, you know what doesn't work. You know, you everybody knows newsletters that bore you, and they're, you know what not to do right off the bat, right? So you know a whole bunch of stuff that's what not to do. So, but some things that you might not think about with a newsletter, you guys are all putting out content on a regular basis. So it archives your content. When Clover was showing us the screen before, some of those modules, basically MailChimp is a service, right? And it's free for a little while, then you pay for it. And it's not much. I'm at around 2,000 or something, and I pay $15 a month. And it might come, I think it was up to $30 a month when I had 2,000 or 3,000. So it's basically, it should pay for itself because you should be able to do something with your reach to pay for that part of it, either with your Patreon or whatever. So it's not, and it'll probably be a bit before you get to 1,000 or whatever the number is, a threshold. It might be 500. But anyway, it's a service, and for a while it's free, and it's going to take care of your list of people, which is important because now on the internet there's all kinds of factors. And I don't even know if it's worth getting into all the technical stuff, but, you know, just people's personal information and their who possesses it and all that, where they're from, all that stuff, and how they get the lists. Like, you can't just put names into a list. You can, but it's game in the system. They want the names to be put in through the form that Clover is showing you. So it's going to take care of your names and your address book, let's say. Then it's going to take care of those templates like Clover was showing you. But there's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about with templates. For example, what's bad about a bad newsletter? It's the same every time. So if you do make a template and use the same thing every time, now you're battling that. So there's some stuff in there that lets you put a new template out each time. So you could almost start from scratch with some modules that are consistent and keep your newsletter interesting.
Well, just to interrupt for a second, a thought that I had while I've been playing around with mine. There's a reason I haven't released it yet. It's because I'm not set on exactly what I want to do. But I was thinking about taking mine and theming it every month. That way, right. That way you had whatever holidays. Here's a holiday seems like it falls in every month, right? Or that month,
or like Coast
So and So Awareness Month, or something like that, right?
Or the drill of the month, like Coast does.
Yeah. Yeah, tailoring it to something that goes on.
So MailChimp makes it easy. So that template part is a real WYSIWYG, easy way to make it easy. And then it takes care of the analytics, the statistics. Once you've sent a newsletter, we've been kind of using the word email, but forget email. This isn't email. This uses the email system, but it's, you know, it's the same way that YouTube isn't a video player, right? I mean, it uses email, but that's it. It's its own system, and the way that it works, it takes care of all the nuisance stuff that Pancake was talking about out there as far as dealing with address books manually, like Clover touched on. dealing with stuff manually. It takes care of a lot of that for you and automates it. But analytics that you get at the end are incredible. And I think Ghost touched on that. You're going to be able to get feedback from the people you send stuff to that's going to help you determine what kind of content you should create. So just getting back to what you can do with the newsletter is knowing that it's going to take care of it's going to manage your address book, which is massive. And what Ghost was talking about there, I never thought about it for business contacts or like industry contacts. I always think about it as audience contacts. But then it's also going to let you create content real easily. And then it's going to give you statistics about that content, the campaigns or the newsletters that go out. But then there's a fourth element to it, and that's the archive. And Clover didn't get a chance to touch on that yet. But another aspect to it is that these emails, these newsletters go out, but they're also maintained on the MailChimp server. And one of the neat things about that form that he used to gather the names, that form he was showing us is to create some code that you put on your website, you put on your, your Gun Channels page or your channel over on Gun Channels. Eventually, as the platforms figure out that we need code, they'll give us little places to put code. But you'd put that little piece of form out there. It's going to collect the person's email. But once they're a member, it's also going to give them a link to your archive. And then people are going to be able to use your newsletter archive, and you're going to be able to use your newsletter archive on your website or on your Gun Channels page. And you're going to be able, people are going to be able to keep track of and kind of index table of contents of all the stuff you've been doing. So the same way that you can, put stuff in playlists on YouTube, but you got to get people over to YouTube. They have to search YouTube, and you're going to be competing with other stuff that's out there similar. With a newsletter, you're creating your own table of contents for all the content you've been creating, all the effort you've been putting into your projects. So newsletters can not just be interesting for the people that are getting the newsletters today, but think of it as like a diary, like a way to create archive of what you've been doing on your projects. And as you add that to your website or whatever, it gives people more to go back and look at and see what you're doing. If you're efforting towards getting clients and sponsors and stuff, it gives them stuff to see what you've done. If you have sponsors, it creates more stuff out there, more permanent stuff on the internet that talks about that content. One of the things I'll do with that module that Clover was showing us at the end there, it has the social media module where you can put in your information on the different social media platforms.
Yeah.
Instead of just leaving that a template, every time I send out a newsletter, which is once a month, I'll change that. I'll update it. So if somebody really wanted to, they could go back through my newsletters and see at what rate I'm growing or declining on the various social media platforms. And then for me, it just becomes a record, an archive. I know, where I was on Facebook and Instagram or whatever. And it's just a way for me to, monitor that without having to pay too much attention to it. Whenever I do the newsletter, I just put those numbers in there, and it's just a part of the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, one of the things that come up, I think yesterday out there had mentioned it. He was talking about the Classic Firearms or something. He gets like four a day or something from them. And one of the things is the frequency, at which you send those out. At what point, I don't know. I haven't found a consistent answer to this. I think it all depends on the makeup or the demographic or whatever, pretty much of your list. Right. Four a day is definitely too much. One a day, I think it's too much. I think probably at a maximum once a week. And most people, I think, tend to do once a month. How often, G, do you utilize the newsletters?
For me, I do them once a month because I have to do everything myself. But if I had a crew or something, I'd really like to get somebody on staff on Gun Channels, because I really think Gun Channels would benefit from a weekly newsletter. I've talked about it before, but like a weekly wrap up on Friday or Saturday, potentially do like a live show. During that live show, open up MailChimp, have a template, because for something like this, it's not supposed to be new and exciting. It's not content creation. It's just archiving the stuff that people have been doing. Mm-hmm. But open up a Saturday show, go live, open up the software and go through and just basically go through the main page of Gun Channels and everybody that's posted, regularly scheduled, formatted show gets posted in there in their segments. And then maybe if something interesting in the news was posted or a meme or, you know, a comic or something cool, that kind of stuff gets added and then it gets sent out to the people that are interested. And that would be sort of, an archive, a way to have a written documentation of what's been going on at Gun Channels. So I would say for personal projects, something like that, I think is the real power of a newsletter. And maybe once a month, kind of depends on how your audience is reacting, though, because that's the best thing about this stuff is you can tailor it to your audience. And if they can't get enough of it, you know, they really like what you're putting out there, but you're going to be able, like Ghost, he does a lot of stuff, or Clover, you do a lot of stuff. Budget, you're constantly jumping in other people's shows. You know, I find the same things difficult. Like Snob, you're always jumping in other people's shows. If in your newsletter you put in a list of like the playlist, you know, I've mentioned before, like whenever I'm in a show like this one, I'll open up the thing on YouTube and I'll add this show to the playlist shows that I've joined. And if you guys just had a part of your newsletter, here's a list of the shows that I've been in. Now somebody that's interested in what you've got to say can go easily and jump into the shows that you were part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Now, Snob over there is, you were asking about Wix. Yeah, you should be able to integrate that into Wix. It has a place to put code, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, my Wix has a little plugin basically that just collects an email list. Mm-hmm. And what I was wondering, can I just take that email list whenever I get one, and can I just add that list, just copy it over to MailChimp, or does it have to have their
that would
subscribe
be the
thing?
But you won't have to do any of that. Those are two of the biggest platforms. They definitely have a way to just merge. As soon as you want to do that and you sign up with both, there'll be a button you click and it'll happen. Yeah. But yes, that's what it'll affect. That's what will happen. You're collecting those names and then they'll eventually merge. But if you went with something else besides MailChimp, what if MailChimp turns anti-gun tomorrow and you decide to go with something else? Almost positive they'll have some merge with their API. That's what it's called when the software's touch. They'll come up with something so that people don't have to know what to do. They'll just push a button and it'll happen. Yeah.
So I won't have to sit there and manually enter. Say if I get 50 names at some point, I don't have to sit there and manually enter each one from one to the other then, right?
Worst case scenario, if you ever did have to do that when you're merging stuff like this, get with somebody who knows what they're doing. Anybody really who's playing around with computers long enough will have copied and pasted like that. And you can usually do some sort of a comma separated value import. So if worst case scenario is you copy it out of your browser, you put it into a spreadsheet, you save that as a comma separated value, and then you import it into the whatever system you're using. They're almost always going to have just some like plain Jane vanilla import that'll allow you to pull in just a list of names or a list of names associated with phone numbers or email addresses in this case.
Right. And that's not and that goes to another point where you were talking about your list getting messed up. You know, keeping a backup of that, keeping that list, those lists exported as well, that way you've got that in a file somewhere. So should MailChimp decide to go anti-gun, or MailChimp cease to exist, or, you know, there's multiple reasons to have that. You don't have to start over. You could import that into another place and keep going. So,
and my issue wasn't with a corruption thing or anything like that, or a backup. It was because my list was so old and it had been accumulated over so many years that the type of, what they call it, sign up, I guess, mm-hmm. was of the kind that isn't no longer valid. So right. There's standards on the internet and those change over time. And, you know, years ago when I had people sign up, they didn't need to verify basically. They just, they were on the list and they were on the list and they haven't complained. So we've been sending them. Mm-hmm. And that was like thousands of people basically. Well, 1,000 people. So one day, right before I'm leaving on the trip, I go to make a newsletter, tell everybody about the trip or whatever I was doing. And blink, you gotta agree to drop 923 names or something like that. And what sucks is like my mom's name is on there, like the guys that started gun websites, you're like, it's us, you know, it's our names. It's just that the way the system is with MailChimp, because it's, you know, they're trying to keep their P's and Q's for the whole internet's whatever, which I call them, like, you know, procedures or whatever,
right.
Standards or whatever, they can't, they just have to say, you know, drop these 900 names. So now I've got to do some big campaign here. You know, I do have their names. I was able to back up those names, but I would have to individually email a lot of those people. I can't use the MailChimp system because it needs the official double opt-in, like Clover was saying. Some, you can suggest a name to it, but then they're going to get an email, and they have, it's one of those emails you get that says you have to click here to verify you're a human or whatever, or verify that you wanted this.
Right.
You know, and it has to take place like that in order for them to accept the name. Now, that's something that you won't deal with because everybody going forward will use that form, like Clover showed you, to sign up for your email. And basically, they'll say, I want to be on so-and-so's email. Then they'll get a, you know, a newsletter. And then they'll get an email that says, did you really want to be on this guy's newsletter? And then they'll say yes. And then that's the double verification. Now they're officially on your list.
Right.
But like Ghost said, now you can start playing with that list. Once you get big lists, you don't even need big lists. But once you've got lists, not only will you be able to say, these are my Patreon tiers, for example, or these are the people that follow me on YouTube, and these are the people that follow me on Instagram, and these are the people from Gun Channels or something, right? You can also have things in there where it'll just tell you from the analytics, these are the people that open your newsletter. These are the people that click on stuff in your newsletter. So when I had a bunch of people and I wanted to send something out, I could say, you know, I only have 10 of these to offer. I'm going to offer it to the people that click on my newsletter. So, you know, it told me who the people were that clicked on the newsletter, and it let me click that subset as a list to send to. And, you know, 8 people would get a version of the newsletter or a email, basically.
Right. Right. Cool. Couple of things, I guess. General Relativity out there says he actually prefers a shorter email once a week for special things, maybe a quick recap of what went on the previous week. So, yeah, I mean, I can see how you could get a little more concise maybe with information if it was once a week. I just don't know. I mean, if it's done in a well enough fashion, I don't know that that would necessarily be frowned upon by that many people. I don't know. I mean, the ones that get an email every day or multiple ones a day, that's the ones that really annoy me the worst, I guess.
Those are probably automated. If you're willing to put in something every week, like let's say it's worth it to you to put in a half an hour every week instead of putting in an hour or two every month, mm-hmm. then you could put together your newsletter every week. Put again on the sign up or something, let people know. Do you want to get, you can put an option in there. Do you want the weekly one or do you want the monthly one or both? And then you put your weekly ones together each week, which is going to, you know, keep you on task anyway. You just send those out to the people that wanted it. Then once a month, instead of just putting together the weekly email, or the weekly newsletter, I guess, you're putting together a little bit larger monthly newsletter, and it's composed of the 3 that you already did, the 4th one you just do right then, and then maybe add a little extra sprinkles on it, and now that gets sent out to the whole group, everybody that wanted it for the month.
That's true. But yeah, that's a very good point. And then Patriot makes a good point about obviously making sure that for those visually impaired or whatever, about not just having images on there. And I've actually screwed up on my website now that he mentioned that, because the over on my website, the discount codes there are actually an image. So what I need to do for that is fine in a sense. But what I need to do now that he has mentioned that is I need to go on and leaving the images is fine, but I need to break that up into, instead of having 3 different coupon codes in one image, I need to have 3 different images for the coupon codes, and then at least get the alt text or something out there that has the coupon code. And I think that would solve that problem. But it's a great point that you don't want an issue where those that are visually impaired, I mean, they need to be able to get something out of that newsletter as well. Let's see what we've got here. Let's shift gears, I guess, here and kind of talk about a couple of things. I know there's several in the room that don't have newsletters, but odds are you probably get them. So let's talk a little bit about, we've kind of went over some of the basics of how to put it together, how to get it rolling, that sort of thing. But as far as the content within that newsletter, either ideas that you have that you're thinking about putting them in a newsletter, or things you've seen in another newsletter that you found interesting or beneficial. Snob, I'll start on your end.
One of the main things I like in a newsletter, if I get one or something, or just a general email from somewhere, something that adds kind of a value that I'll get out of it, you know, because I'm more likely to read it, you know, if it's something I think I'm getting something out of it, not, you know, not like getting something for free, but, you know, learning something or something interesting to me more. That's one of the main things I can think of on that.
All right, cool. What about you, Rich?
Honestly, I don't know, because this depends what kind of mood I'm in with what part of the newsletter when I get them I want to read. Like, if there's a gun review, but it's a gun that I don't care about, I'm really not going to read that review. But if there's another story, like a couple of things down where there's somebody's maybe reviewing an optic that I've been interested in, maybe I'll read that. So it just it fluctuates from one newsletter to another what parts of it I want to read and don't want to read.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the parts of the sum total is kind of how you're going through, instead of, is there anything that as you first start out on the newsletter, I mean, do you actually skim through the whole thing?
Yeah, I'll look through the whole thing. The whole thing, and then I'll click on the things out of what I've looked at that I think look interesting.
Right.
So you read it like a magazine. You flip through it all and then go back and look at what you found interesting.
Right. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I think I do that too.
Yeah, that's pretty common, I think. So it's got to be, and this is for both of you, since both of you kind of answered that question, I'll throw this out to both of you, Rich and Snob. So the sum has to be interesting enough for you to flip through, though, correct?
Yeah, it's got to be something that I know that it's coming from somewhere where they're going to be putting out topics that I would be interested in.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I am, too. I mean, if it's, you know, the latest Barbie doll outfit, I'm probably not going to read the rest of the newsletter.
Right. All right. We won't judge you. Well, I'll take that back. Yeah, we will. Never mind. Budget, I'll throw it over to you. Your thoughts on...
I like to see a sort of table of contents at the beginning of the newsletter so I know if there's anything in it I want to read. That way I can go right to that article or that part of it.
That's interesting. That is interesting. I don't know that I get an email that I've seen that approach done.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot, especially if it was a 3 or 4 page newsletter. I would put a table of contents, say page one, and then you can actually put hyperlinks in there. And so if they're looking at that and they sit there and say, oh, there's a breakdown of, you know, the Smith & Wesson MP Shield, the new grips, I can clip that hyperlink, you know, to go straight to that article in the newsletter. So it kind of gives everybody a little breakdown, and I think people enjoy that.
Right. Right. G-Webs, I'll jump over to you. What are your favorite types of content to put in yours, and which ones do you like, are you most receptive to with newsletters that you may receive?
So I don't really pay attention to too many newsletters, because I think like a lot of people, they're like brochures in the mail, right? So I acknowledge they come in. They're talking in the chat over there. General is saying like FPC and PSA and others email every day, and he wants to unsub them, but then you also don't want to. And that's where it's sort of frustrating. So I don't put them in my junk mail, but I have them set to like go right past my main box, right? Just go right into their folder. Mm-hmm. So I know they're there. And then that way, let's say we're having a discussion on something, I consider most of my newsletters that I get, that I keep like that, I consider them archiving data, right? So if there's something that comes up, I can go look at my recent newsletter, see if somebody's been talking about it. but I don't look at every new newsletter that comes in. There's just too many of them. So I would say I definitely do the table of contents thing. That way, if somebody just has your table, all your newsletters in a folder or something, they can just either see the preview or open them, and the first thing they see is what all is in your newsletter. I also number them and date them. So even though the email itself, you know, if it gets forwarded or whatever, or somebody sees, because I think MailChimp makes a PDF version right away. So some people are getting like a PDF version. You know, it's all dated just like a regular, any document that you'd want to make sure it's, you know, dated and numbered. So those are the kind of things I put in mind, but mine's kind of boring. I don't put info. Mine's more like a table of contents of what I've been doing on all over the web, you know, because I consider my newsletter, like I was saying, an archive of what I've been doing, kind of a diary. And then the people that are following what I'm doing might not know, oh, today I'm, or this week I've been over on Instagram doing stuff, or I've got a new project over here. Now there's a, you know, a new project coming up over here, and the newsletter gives them that direction, but it doesn't necessarily have like a summary of the articles or anything like that. Right. So I don't think too many people are like looking forward to my newsletter. I'm thinking they're probably just like, oh, whenever they're interested or whatever, they'll open it up. I mean, and that's the other thing, as I was going to say, you can put a little bit of effort into, you know, how you want your newsletter, send out the first couple, but the feedback that you're going to get is incredible. Not only just asking your subscribers, what do you want, but just watching all the analytics you're going to get from MailChimp, you're going to know what they're interested in, what they're clicking on, and what's working and what's not. So the analytics, they're great tools, and I would use those as, because they're really easy, and it's a real interactive situation. If they open your email and they click on anything, you're going to know it. If they don't open your email, you know it. If they open your email and don't click on anything, you know it. So all of those things give you info and let you kind of mold. And if you do it on any kind of regular basis, you'll be able to get data in like a year of what to, you know, how to get your newsletter cooking.
Right. Right. Gizzard, I'll kick it over to you.
Well, I don't get a lot of newsletters. I know the kind of things I would like to see in them is info that you can't get any other way. I mean, if it's just a synopsis of everything you've put out over the last few days or weeks, mm-hmm. it's really not giving you any insider type information, which is kind of the thing I subscribe to something like that for. But I'm a skimmer. I can look over something real quick, three or four pages, and pick out what I want to look at and disregard the rest. Right. And then I might save it for later when I have more time to look at it and reread the whole thing. But that's kind of the way I treat them.
To that point a little bit, I can see how that could be an issue for those that are subscribed to a newsletter and that hang on every word and every piece of content that somebody puts out. I can see how that type of a newsletter would be redundant. So I understand what you're saying about having stuff extra. But then again, what about those that don't watch every minute of every show, every minute of everything that's produced, view every Instagram post? You know, you get into a situation there where you've got, I guess what I'm saying is you've got varying levels of participation with people that may be subscribed to the newsletter. So I think it's maybe trying to find that happy medium somewhere. You got to kind of have a little bit in there for multiple people, maybe.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I think that something along the lines, maybe what G-Web was saying and stuff too, is that is keep it. And you allude to this, of course, as well, but is keep the newsletter, keep it engaging, right? Where it's like an extension of the conversation, more or less. I think that might be a good approach to keep people interested in, you know, and wanting, you know, or I'm not going to say wanting, but not upset when they get that thing every whatever it is, every week or every month or quarterly or however you decide to do it. Ghost, I bring you in on, you know, just thoughts on different aspects of newsletters that you think are most beneficial.
I think that Gary hit on something there, and this is what I used to do. with obviously a different business, but in this one, it'd be just as good, if not more valuable. And you can talk about your different videos that you put through there. You know, you say, I put out an educational one about the velocity of 22 long rifle, or I did one on this, that, and the other, or I did a review on this. But I think what a lot of people would like to see is some behind the scenes stuff that you're not going to get. Talk about some of the funny things or the weird things or the stuff that didn't make the cut of that video, and say, I know that this video was 4 minutes long, but I actually had about another 7 minutes worth of stuff, and this is what happened. And maybe when you're doing a review, sit there and say, I didn't want to do a 15-minute review on video, so I put a 10-minute video, but I also tested this, this, and this. So maybe some behind the scenes of each video, or you know, different stuff that you're doing throughout the day. And maybe that's one of those things where you sit there and say, look, you know, you see my videos, you see the shows and all that, but did you know that I spend 6 hours a day contacting different manufacturers or talking on the phone with other content creators or whatever, and kind of go through a day in the life maybe. And I think people would be interested in hearing that.
Yeah, that's a neat idea for sure.
Or just having some section in there like this, like Ghost has his shows, right? And he's got his podcast, and he could talk about stuff that he's created, stuff that he's produced, or the live shows that happened. But in how does he get across to the world what shows he joined? Mm-hmm. So now he can, you know, have
exactly
a letter that's like, I was on Clover's show on Thursday, I was on Clover's show on Friday, you know, I was on Caliber Corner on Saturday.
And you can link those in the newsletter as well.
Well, yeah.
And then what about just a quick synopsis, like this was a great show, or like this is the show where like half an hour and it really got cooking. And that's the kind of stuff like Gary's saying, where you get a little bit extra because now you're getting your insight to the show that you were in.
Right. Or now, there was a great 5 minutes of this. You might want to check out the 33-minute mark of this video and really listen to the conversation for the 5 minutes that is really kicking about this subject.
Why do all this? It's those viewers that are like, oh, I like this guy Ghost. He's pretty cool, right? I saw him on so-and-so show and whatever. I go over to your website. Oh, and then they watch your newsletter, and all of a sudden they can see you in these things. Well, on a Thursday afternoon when they've got time, they can watch everything you've done all week, you know, one Thursday afternoon. Or a Saturday afternoon,
and that's a thing too that Gary had brought up and Ghost hit on. But putting, you know, if you've got like a synopsis or whatever of, you know, of the shows or whatever, then, you know, putting those timestamps in there to certain parts of it could be beneficial. But then another thing too, Gary was talking about that little bit of extra, that added content. What about if you linked to your previous live streams for the week or whatever, there's always pre-chat and post-chat stuff that's went on. There's always things that I know with my guests that have been discussed either when I was booking them or pre-chat or post-chat or whatever. That's not like privied information. It just didn't come up during the show. And, you know, what if
we were talking about food before, you know,
right. What if you put that in there as well? And said, you know, hey, yeah, before this show started, we were talking about this, and this was their position on X, Y, and Z, or, you know, whatever. If there was something interesting that can be put out there, I should say, pre-chat or post-chat, then maybe privy the people with the newsletters, privy them to that, you know, that kind of behind the scenes, what went on, you know, that, you know, if you just watched the show, you would know that.
I think a lot of people will watch a video and they get the information from the video and they think it's interesting and all that. But we all have parts of the video that didn't make the cut, the final cut. And so you don't have to show the video of that, but you can talk about, you know, man, I really wanted to do this test and it failed. I couldn't get this working or whatever, but I really try to get this thing in the review. Maybe next time I will, but it's the behind the scenes stuff that maybe they didn't see in the video.
Or, you know, even you could tell a story, you know, I recorded a whole video and didn't realize my mic wasn't on, you know, stuff like that. You can just throw little funny things.
It took me 17 takes to get that sentence right.
Yeah. And that's the added value. Like I was talking about, I feel like I get value out of reading it, you know, something I wouldn't have figured out otherwise. So,
or you could even put up, you know, things you screwed up and you had to do a jump cut or some kind of edit, you know,
exactly.
So, yeah. If you notice at the 3 minute and 12 second mark, you know, I screwed up and did this, and this, and I had to try to fix that in editing.
This is where I dropped my magazine and couldn't find one of the springs or something, you know?
Yeah. Right. Just make it the like I said, like Gary put out there, right? You know, a little bit extra behind the scenes to it, not just, you know, the monotony of, well, here's the video link of the show or whatever for this week. And, you know, we went over this and this and this and this. Well, if they watch it, they know that, you know, so give them a little bit extra to go along with it.
I think that would be more engaging that way.
And for the people, and what I'm saying is that covers both. That covers the people that watch the show, because they're not going to click on it and rewatch it, right? So, you know, that covers the people that didn't watch it. So you kind of entice them to watch it. But then it also gives the ones that did watch it a little bit extra. So there's something there for everybody, so to speak. Oh, yeah, good stuff. We're up against, and we could, like G Webs had said, I think we can talk about this for hours. And it certainly warrants more discussion. So we'll come back to it, I'm sure, in the near future. But for now, I'm going to run it through the room. I'm going to sweep the floors and pick up the chairs and all that good kind of stuff. You can't, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, so to speak. But let's give everybody their chance to plug what they need to. Snob, what you got?
Apparently not a mute button. Not much. Got my Saturday show, but that's about it. So thanks for having me. Learned a lot. Found it very interesting.
You bet. Rich, you got anything going on?
Got the show Sunday night, 8:00 this week, unloaded over on the media channel. Check it out.
Very, very good. Budget, I know you got something here. Let me get your link on deck. So let her rip.
Yeah, normally this is where I would shamelessly promote myself, but I'm not going to do that today. Buddy of mine. A matter of fact, in some of my earlier shooting videos, that's whose range I'm at. His wife has cancer, and they've kind of been struggling with their medical bills. So their daughter started a GoFundMe for this. And if Clover will put the link out there, you guys could see fit to help them out. They're good people. This is a legit thing. It's not somebody trying to scam just to beg to get some money. So if you guys could help them out, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks.
You bet. And I did drop the links. I don't know Gun Channel side. I'm sure they'll work, but I don't, you know, on the other side, I don't know. G-Webs had a better link. The link you gave me didn't look like it's working over there. So let me.
It won't let me post that. Oh, I'm on the wrong account over there.
Giz, look like Gizzard's got it out there. So it's out there. What was the name of it? What was the name of it again, Budget? Just in case the link doesn't work. Do you know?
It comes up as my.
I didn't have my mute button on. It's my mom is Zebra Strong.
Okay, that should be easy to remember. It's pretty unique. G-Webs, you got anything on deck other than Daily Gun Show here shortly?
No, I jumped in late, so it's like over before it even started. It was a great show. Thanks for the link.
Yeah, and we'll definitely come back. You know, pique everybody's curiosity first, right? And then as the questions start rolling in, maybe we can get a little more advanced with it.
I really do. We've been petitioning for everybody to, you know, be more than just YouTube centric. So I think it's not just an exercise in, you know, getting some text out there, which is super good for the internet. The internet reads everything. So the more text we can get, the better. And, you know, not just copying and pasting our descriptions and stuff. But it's also archiving your projects. And sometimes when we're talking about keeping momentum and keeping enthusiasm for our projects and stuff, when you've got stuff that's happening and it's compiling, that helps keep your motivation going. When you know you're contributing to a project that's accumulating and making that visible to the public and to yourself, there's value to that. So, you know, when you put it on a YouTube channel and you see Hickok with 1 billion views, you know, whether or not he's never spent a moment talking about Second Amendment issues is here nor there. It's frustrating when, you know, you're putting your stuff next to somebody on a platform and there's that difference in scale. You know, there's a lot more fun when we're putting it on like GunStreamer, of course, but by putting it on your own project, on your own website, having your new newsletter on a system like MailChimp, which allows you to go back and look at your campaigns, you get to start seeing some of that interaction. And, you know, it's like I said, it's, there's a lot of benefits to these newsletters. So I'm glad you brought it up as a topic.
I bet. Gizzard, what you got going on?
Not a whole lot of planned content, although I do have some stuff in the works. I released a couple mail call videos this week, you know, just to thank the generous people who have sent me things. And I appreciate that. But anyway, check me out at gizzardgary.com. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Ghost, bring it home.
I don't have anything except for I want to bring up one thing real quick, if you don't mind. I had a guy email me and was talking about wanting to start produce content and only has a couple guns that he doesn't think would be interesting, but want to do some reviews. And I kind of basically told him, I've said this before, and I think we've all said this before, one of the greatest resources that you could have if you're looking to do gun reviews and you don't have the guns, go to your local gun shop. Talk to the owner and say, look, do you mind if I shoot a video here? Not only am I getting publicity for your shop, I'll mention your shop and all that, but you can also maybe highlight a gun that they've been trying to sell. They haven't been able to sell for a while or so. They may just got a new gun in and they want to get the word out on something besides just their Facebook page or whatever. Go to your local gun shop, talk to the owner, see if they're willing to let you do that. And if you can do it once a week, that's, you know, that's a lot of exposure for that extra gun shop and some guns they have, or do a holster, or do, you know, whatever it is they've got they want to promote for that week. Help them out, but you're also able to create content with gear. I think Travis does a great job with, he does a lot of reviews that are for guns that aren't his. But not only is he getting a lot of content out there for people, but he's also allowing that gun shop to be represented on YouTube as well. So if you're able to do that, do it, and it really helps out everybody.
Yeah, and it may start out with, you know, you doing stuff there, you know, at the shop or whatever, but
yeah,
as that grows and that relationship builds and you build that trust or whatever, they could very easily, you know, put you under their stuff and then send you
exactly.
home.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
A lot of people don't realize that as an FFL, I mean, they can they can contract and, you know, do some things like that. So that's certainly a possibility.
You can do that with more than one shop.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people don't think that. They think FFL and they think, oh, well, you know, it's the one guy, his name's on the paper. Well, no, it doesn't. You know, it's not technically the way it works. So, yeah, with that, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for hanging around and talking nerdy with us. Tomorrow night for Firearm Friday, I have ran the test hangout and everything is cool and smooth. We've got Jeff with Allegiance Ammo. So go check out Allegiance Ammo. I don't have the link, unfortunately, or I'd throw it out there, but it's easy enough to find some very cool subsonic ammunition in 5.56, 308, 9mm, all kind of different calibers. Really promising stuff, I think, especially for self-defense, for home defense with an AR, which is kind of become a big thing.
And an AK.
Yeah, and the AK for sure. So, yeah, go check out that stuff. Get those questions ready. He was totally, we lost him last week because we just could not get the technology right with him. But we've got him lined out, and he's ready to go and ready to experience something new, which is kind of cool. We talked a lot about on the test chat about how, you know, there's just so many in the industry and everything that's out there that not only do they not know how all of this works, the vast majority don't even know it exists. So they don't even know what they don't know. And so thankfully he was willing to work with me and be patient and learn. And I think we got him lined out. So it should be a great conversation tomorrow night. So jump in for that. Till then, we're gone. Bye.